N4DJW Mobile. N4ZLK Mobile.
How are you doing this evening?
Headed home. I hope you are well. You out getting dinner? It's too late to go to the dump.
Get up. I'm going. My wife has a hankering for a fish sandwich. I'm going to pick one up. We got everything, all the hatches battened down. I heard on the weather channel it's going to be half dollar size hail. Possibility of half dollar size hail. You got everything, all the cars secured underneath some kind of shelter?
Fits in the garage, but my truck does not. I park under a tree, or I can park under a tree, and maybe, hopefully that will do it.
Now, too, both our cars will fit in the garage and the motorcycle, but I have to take the lawnmower out. So the lawnmower parked behind the truck, lawnmower and the hood truck are exposed. Normally the lawnmower stays inside and only one vehicle stays in there because it just makes it a lot easier to get around. But in a pinch, we can put a motorcycle in there. So the truck is a sacrificial lamb.
Yeah, unfortunately, mine has to be that way too. I have enough trees. It's not just one tree. I can park up above the house in the woods, and I think that would probably protect it unless a tree fell on it. But we don't normally, when the wind blows, we're kind of down in a hole, and there's so many hills around us that the wind doesn't really get down to where we are too bad. So I'm reminded, my oldest brother married a girl from Korea years and years ago. They're no longer together, but she called him one day. He was in the military, and he was in Texas. He was at work. She called him and said, giant snowflakes fell out of the sky and put dents in the car. She'd never seen hail before.
That would be kind of scary. It looked like the end of the world to somebody who's never seen it or heard of it before. It is bad. I hate to see it. I've seen it out there. My wife's car has a few dents in it where she was coming home one time, and it got really bad. She was coming home from work, and we didn't get it put up before the hail put a few dents in the chrome that goes around the window. And you can, if you look just right, you can see some dimples on the trunk lid, but everything else was okay. It's really hard to see. You have to be looking for it, but yeah, that would be kind of scary for somebody who's never seen that before.
Our cars, usually my vehicle has always been outside. And we've had a few hailstorms go through, but nothing like that. And they've survived so far. But my sister had a hailstone in her freezer for a long time. She lives out near Nashville, just east of Nashville, and it was the size of a baseball.
Real damage to the house. We didn't have it that big before, but we've had some big enough to where when they insurance inspectors came down and inspected my house, they said, yeah, you need a new roof. So they paid for the bulk of the new roof.
That was after a couple of small hail storms, but not enough. I'm actually getting a new roof next week if it doesn't rain. I think that everything's going to be delivered tomorrow. We got to pay for it ourselves, though, but it's time.
About 20 years. Some of them, we added the extra amount we had to pay ourselves to get the 30-year shingles. And you can see they are significantly thicker. But hopefully that'll make it to where it's somebody else's problem next time it comes due.
I think those 30-year shingles really only are guaranteed to last 25. They say 30 years, but 25 if, you know, worst case. That's what we're getting as architectural shingles. I tell you what, though, I did a little roofing years ago when I was doing construction. We roofed my son's house a couple weekends ago, but they've come out with some new stuff. We used to just felt, you know, put felt paper down and then roof over it. Now they've got this ice shield. It's like big rolls of thick, well, not really thick, but extra roofing materials, just tar, and it sticks. You know, you lay it down along the edges and in the valleys, and if it's really steep, you can lay it down over the whole roof. And man, that's a good layer of extra protection right there. And then you put the tar paper or whatever. It's not really tar paper anymore. They've got this new stuff, which is even thinner. Put it down over it. It's thinner, but it cuts. It's really, really hard to cut with a knife because it's got fiber in it.
And this will probably be my last one because I'm turning in MACDO right now. And there's nobody there, so so I'm going to pull up. But my cousins and I used to do that for extra money, is roof shingle, roof, put new roofs on. One house had four roofs they put on top of them before they peeled them off. And we were making trip after trip to the dump peeling off those shingles. Four roofs. That thing is, wonder it didn't collapse. Anyway, I'll be back in a minute, W4DJW.
That's the worst part, is stripping it. All right, talk to you later. And 4ZLK.
W.
Is that okay? Hey, do you know who's calling the net Saturday for Connor?
It's probably me.
A little bit ago, I was texting him, and I gave him a hard time. I said, here, I told them how dependable you were and everything, and then you lay out your first night.
When I was asking him what his availability would be, he told me, you know, after this Saturday, it'll be all of them, so... It's not officially his first night.
I feel better about it now. Just had a little coughing fit there. Sorry about that.
Good. Hayden as well. I think both of them are going to do good. When they were going through the setup and the training, they were like one step ahead of me. They knew what I was going to say before I said it. They grew up on computers, didn't they?
Probably. What, he's 29, I think. So I'm sure he did. I mean, I had one when I was a teenager, so I had the Commodore 64. A little different. But yeah, they'll do fine. They'll do really well there. And I know Connor's really looking forward to it.
Exciting to see somebody that is that literate on computers. I mean, that so much so that I didn't even have to barely mention what to do next, and they were already doing it. They pulled, I don't remember which one it was. It might have been Hayden. One of them pulled it up and said that you have checked in with me. I told them how to look up the history, you know, double-click on this row, and you can see how many times that person checked in, when was the first time and when was the last time. And not even 10 seconds later, he said, you checked in with me 98 times. That's really cool.
Hunter texted that to me. That while he was going through the training, he was... or a Zoom call with you guys, he was texting me too, so there's that. I don't know if I could do more than one thing at a time, but he told me that. So, and I did check in with you the other night, so if you're working, or if you're doing it Saturday night, and I check in, that should make the 100.
Down the road, somebody's hurt. They're going fast, too. They're going down White Hampton. They were going fast. That means somebody's in trouble. Anyway, yeah, so we'll celebrate that the 100th time. I don't know how many other people have had that. I've had 651 nets or 52 nets so far. So there's probably plenty of people. I know Rick and Lorena and Michelle, and I know those people, those kind of people that are that consistent, have probably hit the 100 mark. But because you're in and out, right, because you're working, makes it difficult for you. So that's quite an accomplishment.
2005, and he said you were mobile in Malden. And I'm like, yeah, I was probably working late that night, because at that time I just had a 2-meter radio in my personal vehicle. And basically I used it when I go into work enough, which was often, I would check into the net. But it averages out to about 5 times a year, and that's really not that many. I don't know how often you call it. If you did it once a week, you know, I missed a lot of your nets.
I think I started calling it before I wrote the software. I think the calling it is what inspired writing the software. So I was probably, that's probably not 100% accurate, because there's probably, I used to have Tuesday nights, every Tuesday night. And the beginning, I was sharing with Joy. She had it every Tuesday night, and we split it so that she'd have it one Tuesday and I'd have it the next. And so, yeah, it's taken quite a twisty turn over the years.
Remember when Joy was calling it, too. Goodness, I can remember when Sue, I don't know if you remember Sue, N4ENX, when she was calling it. Trying to think who else. I didn't check in a lot back then. I got my license in 90, 1991. Either end of 91 or beginning of 92. I think it was 91. And but I didn't have a radio at first, you know. It took a little while to get going. But I would love to call the net at some point when I can dedicate, when I feel like I can be more consistent. You know, I can make sure I'm there. It's just a little rough right now.
Like Ray used to tell me all the time, I used to go over to Ray's house and we'd have talks. and he used to tell me all the time, ham radio does not come first. He says, your job comes first. Because sometimes I'd have to work really late at night, kind of, you know, like you said, sometimes I'd work all the way through the night into the next day. And he'd tell me, don't feel bad. He said, I'll call it if you can't, because work comes first.
Family, too. I knew that. So my son, my oldest son, he lives right down the road from Ray. He bought the house. They bought their house probably a few months before Ray passed away. I saw him out there cutting grass one day, and I tried to talk to him, but he was pretty hard of hearing at that point, and the lawnmower was going too, and we had spoken before. I'd met him a few times, but I don't think he knew who I was and couldn't hear me. But anyway, my son lives on that same street.
Gaston Drive.
That's the one with the ham radio license. This is my oldest son. He doesn't have a license.
How many? So there's Seth, Connor, Hayden, and another one?
Son-in-law. Hayden is just his twin brother. Ethan and Seth are my sons, and then I have two daughters. Connor is married to one of my daughters.
Okay. I've wondered how all that works out, and I still didn't get all of that because I was buckling my seatbelt and rolling my window up. So say that again. Who's who now?
Connor, since you know him. Connor is my son-in-law. He's married to my youngest daughter, Gabrielle. And Hayden is Connor's twin brother. So we've just known him for a while. We met him several years ago. My youngest son, Seth, he's KQ4WJT. He just got his license. My oldest son, Ethan, is the one that lives on Gaston Drive right down the road from where Ray lived.
Okay, so he lives over there next to Fred, too. You know Fred?
I'm not sure. I know he lives in Traveler's Rest, but I don't know where.
So before you get to Gaston Drive, the road you turn off of to get onto Gaston Drive going over to Ray's house from my house is the road that Fred did. So I remember that because I turned off on that road, and his house is like the first one on the left with a huge beam over top of the house.
Probably coming in off of Tubbs Mountain.
Yes.
Road. There's Hillside, and then the first, I'm trying to think of what that first one is. We turned down, it goes all the way up to Main Street. I'll have to look. I never paid attention.
Yeah, from the other side, because you're coming from the north. I'm coming from the east.
Come down 276 and into Traveler's Rest and then turn left into that neighborhood. But if I ever leave his house and I need to go to Walmart or head that way, I always go out the back way to Tubbs Mountain.
So that I come in on? I come in from 25 on Main Street.
Now, you said Fred has a beam over his house?
Yeah, and that road you turn off of Main Street, you turn off of it onto Fred's Road, and then Fred's Road runs into Gaston.
I will definitely look now. I probably should just look him up in QRZ, and I can figure out right where he is. Yeah, I've talked to Fred in the morning when either before if he's calling his son or after he's done, I try to catch him and say hello.
It's I'm reading coffee and writing code. That's why you don't hear me. It's because you have to stay focused. I've got it turned on, but it's turned down low. So I hear who's there, but I don't really get a good gist of the conversation because writing code, you got to stay focused.
I do the same thing when I'm practicing code or listening to Morse code on HF. I have to turn down this ring.
Not that good, but there are some people with Morse code that can carry on a conversation and copy code at the same time. That's pretty good. They're writing the code out on a piece of paper, and they're talking to you at the same time. That was a lot more back during World War II. more prevalent, but both my father-in-law and my dad used to teach Morse code, told me the same thing, that there were people that they did that for a living, on a battleship or something like that. That was their job. And that was my dad's job in the back of a 1911 bird dog. It's a big green Super Cub, a drab green Super Cub. He used to do that. He'd let a 300-foot line out of the back of the Super Cub and fly back behind enemy lines, sending and receiving Morse code. And you do it that much, you can talk to other people while you're copying code or sending code. Doesn't matter. It's just another language, and you can do them two at the same time.
People, and I'm a little jealous. I imagine that, in my imagination, I would like to be that good someday. I used to deliver to a guy who, he was in the military. He was older than me. I don't think he was in World War II, but he said when he went to code school, it was 8 hours a day for like 16 weeks. All they did was do code for 8 hours a day, and I'm like, man, I don't know if I can handle that.
I used to do that for Michelin, not for code, but for teaching or learning how to file, learning how to work with your hands. They used to have intensive training classes like that. I said that's the same way they taught me French, was intensive French classes where you do nothing but like 16 hours of French a day. they were serious about learning. They took it really, really serious. And whether it was learning how to file flat, square, and parallel so that you get an appreciation for what machine tools are doing, or whether it was learning, you know, the French language, it doesn't matter. It's highly intensive. And I guess when you do, and I guess that's why the military did it too, because when you do it like that, it's effective.
Yeah, comment. That's, if you want to be good at it, that's what you got to do. But it's a little bit hard when you're working and have a family and everything else. But anyway, I've enjoyed it. I'm pulled in the driveway. I pulled off or stopped in the driveway and watched the black snake go across. So I'm just one. It's just a small one. It's the first one I've seen this summer or this spring. We'll talk to you later. Enjoy the conversation. W4DJW and 4ZLK.
Well, that was good timing because I am backing it in the driveway. Catch you later, Shane. Good talking to you. N4ZLK, W4DJW, clear.